You're listening to Borders-ish, a podcast about the boundaries in our lives. I'm Amaya Haddab.
And I'm Anna Allport.
The idea of home is complicated. Is it somewhere I'm safe?
Is it a person?
Is it a feeling?
Is it a place?
For undocumented immigrants in the United States, defining home can be paralyzing. Some pending legislation could help.
The Senate is currently weighing the American Dream and Promise Act, which would grant permanent residency to millions of eligible immigrants and, after a decade, citizenship.
Anna Sotomayor has the story about how to find home when it's not legally recognized.
We'll follow one of those immigrants as she journeys to answer this question.
An estimated 11 million people in the United States are undocumented. They're here for many reasons. Some are escaping the dangerous conditions of their birth countries, and others come to reunite with their families. But one thing they all have in common is how challenging it is to define home.
The result is now clear, a record voter turnout and a broad nationwide victory. Thanks to you, President George W. Bush won the greatest number of popular votes of any presidential candidate in history.
I've been grappling with this question for most of my life. It started back in 2004. In the United States, George Bush had just won the presidency for the second time. In Peru, I'm holding my grandma's hand. We're headed to the airport, and I don't know what we're doing, but everyone's saying goodbye. I remember it went something like this.
You're going to see your mom. When you enter the plane, don't tell them your name. They denied your visa application. They only allowed us to leave. And you stayed. It was really sad and painful that they didn't grant it to you.
I left Peru when I was 4, and I hold the very few memories close to my heart. But ever since I got off that plane and into the United States, I've been undocumented. My story is one in millions. I'm curious to know how undocumented immigrants have created their own understandings of home in a country that sometimes feels like it doesn't want them. What is belonging to the undocumented person? What are their stories of arrival? I call Maria Perales. She came from Mexico when she was 8. She still remembers it vividly.
When we were leaving our little hometown to immigrate to the U.S., they were playing this really sad song. So I know that song to this day. And it was raining also. But when we arrived that night and it was no longer raining. And the first thing that I did was hug my mom.
And do you remember the name of that song?
Lágrimas de cristal.
Crystal tears.
Las lágrimas de cristal que derramamos al partir. Which a partir is like once we left. So it was very, very touching.
What came after crystal tears was joy. Maria reunited with the rest of her family who had been living in the United States for a long time. She saw her dad for the first time in years. One of 9 children, Maria would finally see them all under one roof in Texas. They made the journey worth it.
And in many ways, I had never felt any shame because I felt that the reasons that we were coming, the way that my mom explained to me, made sense.
I can imagine that, like, at 8 years old, you're thinking, I just want to see my parents.
Right, right.
For Maria, immigrating to the United States acted as a homecoming. It wasn't about a shiny, new country, but rather it was about reuniting with family. For others, it's a different experience. It's actually escaping a dangerous situation. I call someone whose homeland turned violent. For fears of retribution, they wanted any identifiers to stay secret. They shared some of the most harrowing tactics of suppression their country's government was using against its people, from murders to kidnappings to human traffickings. Their country takes censorship to another level. They know their family would be targeted. They tell me, quote, if we go back, we might get killed. And add to that, the government is targeting anyone they think they could ransom for money. Unquote. They echo their father's words in choosing to stay undocumented in the United States. Quote, if something happened to the kids, it'd be my fault. Unquote. There are many stories like this, but nobody knows the true numbers. We do know how many tried to leave their home countries and died on the journey. According to the World Migration Report, 30,000 between 2014 and 2018. What we don't know is how many are still alive. The thing about immigration is that we're more than numbers, patterns, trends. We come as living archives. Hearing from these undocumented immigrants makes me wonder more about my story. What was I thinking when I came here? It turns out, no one knows. I had a speech impediment and hardly even spoke. My mom remembers.
You didn't even say words. You would only say... When you came to the United States, from saying one syllable, you became a chatterbox. You talked so much.
And I never had a problem with speech after that. Learning English opened new doors for me. My mom shares how I dreamt of meeting Santa Claus, who was real in Los Estados Unidos, so I had to learn how to communicate. How else could I tell him what I wanted for Christmas? I can't remember what item was under the tree that year, but I can point to something I got the year I immigrated. It was the gift of language. After talking to other undocumented immigrants about redefining home, I feel less paralyzed answering this question for myself. Home is feeling free to speak and be heard. And even though laws are changing and citizenship is getting closer and closer, I'll always find home in having a voice. This is Ana Sotomayor, signing off.
You're listening to Borders-ish, a 9-part series produced by an audio journalism class at Princeton University. We are your hosts, Anna Allport and...
Amea Hada.
Up next, we have a story about a battle for scientific supremacy and one man who got caught in the crossfire.